Reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Volume 1, Chapter 1, Text 1. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chanda Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Yasya Prasadara Gopi Yajya Shava Yatam Vrajet So Sri Chaitanya Devo me Bhagavan Sapasidatu. Even a person with no knowledge can immediately acquire all knowledge simply by benediction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, I am praying to the Lord for his causeless mercy. Om Jnanasimarandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Jayam Rupa Kadamayam Vidati Sapadantikam Adadanastinam Dante Idam Yache Puna Puna Shima Rupa Kadam Boja Dulisham Janma Janmani Vairagya Yud Bhakti Visham Priyatnai Apayam Mamana Vipsamandam Sapambhiya Paraduka Duki Sanatanastam Prabhumasriyami Pancha Kalpa Karubhyascha Vipa Shindhu Vayevacha Pitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Bhor Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, greetings from Sri Vrindavan Dham. And as I do before I speak in our Sangha class, first I give you a little bit about the mood of Vrindavan. This is the first day since I've been here in 6 months where it's days of old where there's a complete blackout. And you know, in India, they have the rainy season, and that's when it rains. It doesn't rain any other time, but today we just had a big rain, and the electricity went off. So I'm giving my first Sangha class here in the complete dark with just some candles and flashlights. And I also try to communicate to you something about the flavor of Vrindavan. Of course, I'm already feeling the separation because in 4 or 5 days, I will again be going to the America. I've been here for 6 months, very, very fortunate. And I was thinking of the pastime of Krishna leaving Vrindavan and has my illustrious godbrother, Srila Gaura-Govinda Swami, explained that there's actually three types of separation. And one type of separation is just like when a Krura came to take the gopis, they knew Krishna was going. He was still in Vrindavan. He was still in Vrindavan. He was still on that chariot. But there was separation, and then there was the separation where he was at, they actually saw him go, and then the separation where he was gone. I guess in New York language, we can translate that as going gone. And actually, the second going is the real separation when the person is actually leaving. And when I actually get in that car and I'm on that Bhaktivedanta Marg, and the real separation was there. Actually, some of you know Joe Cayley and his daughter, Nina. They were here, and I just saw a very nice young 14-year-old young girl. Not that much experience in Krishna consciousness, but coming to Vrindavan and going to the holy places and crying so much when she was leaving. And I don't want to leave this place. actually this afternoon in our class, a very interesting question was asked by one of the devotees. And in Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's Upadesh Shavali, that's his mission statement. He said that the mood of our Gaudiya Vaishnav mood is to serve the devotees who are in Vrindavan, the eternal bridge vasis who are in separation after Krishna left Vrindavan. And somebody asked me the question, how is that and how can we practice that? But the point is that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was so nicely making is that our mood to enter Braj is the mood of service. And wherever the service is greatest, that is the practice that will bring us closest to Braj. So the separation of the bridge vasi, that's their greatest moment of need. Not when the bridge vasis are in union with Krishna. The greatest moment of need. And we're Raganugas. We want to follow the mood of the bridge vasis, which means we want to serve the bridge vasis. But what is their greatest moment of need? Their greatest moment of need is when they're in separation from Krishna. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, so much, especially as the 20th century, 21st century now is entering, and people become more and more absorbed in the egoistic conception of life, we wanted to so carefully keep us and our spiritual practices from the egoistic conception of life. And he so much wanted to stress that the real consciousness of Braj is that mood of selfless service. And this was actually confirmed by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, when he was asked, a disciple just asked him a question, perhaps in a darshan, and the question was, if you had to do bhajan in any place that you could pick, what place would you pick? And he said, Kurukshetra. And the disciples were a little bit surprised because mostly we associate Kurukshetra with the Bhagavad Gita platform of Vaidhi Bhakti. And Lord Chaitanya came to give Raghunuga Bhakti. So they said, why Kurukshetra? And then he said, because it is the place, he said, I am Radhika Dasyam. I am the servant of Srimati Radharani. And it's the place of Radharani's greatest need. Why? Because when Krishna came to see Radharani after 96 years in Kurukshetra, and Radharani was in, when the residents of Vrindavan came to Kurukshetra and met Krishna after 96 years, and Radharani was in that deep mood of union, a separation and union, because Krishna was there, but he could not manifest himself as her lover because outside of Vrindavan, he is the king and surrounded by so many people in that mood of reverence. So she was with Krishna, but actually it wasn't Krishna. She was in the mood of separation and union. So it was her greatest moment of need. It was her greatest moment of need. So he said, I want to I'm Radhika Dasyam, and I'll serve in the greatest moment of need. So that's actually the Vaishnava mood. Anyway, to continue with our class, I'm going a little bit over. I haven't done this in a week. Just explain a little bit of something else that was very nice. You know, in these classes, I also like to share the realizations of senior devotees whom I associate with, especially here in the Dham. The nature of the Dham is that many senior, but just so wonderful. And instead of my class one afternoon, I went to a class by my god sister, Jamuna. She was explaining, she was just explaining about cooking. And it was actually packed. So many people was there. And very nice. And the one point that she made was so nice. She said, she told us, it was very so instructive, it's not enough to talk about the good old days, but to actually make the days now good by actually following Prabhupada's instructions. And that's actually what makes something good is actually the height of our Krishna thought. Anyway, it was so nice to just see her realizations. She just described her cooking with Prabhupada and how Krishna consciousness he was. She asked the question, how many people when they're cooking have ever talked or been in another conversation that wasn't attentive to the cooking? And everyone raised their hand. And she said, I was with Prabhupada. He was never inattentive. And she said, inattentive cooking is like inattentive chanting. It was a very, very wonderful evening just to share her realizations. And then at the very end, one brahmachari raised his hand and said to her, can you please sing the Govinda prayers? Because she said, no, you know, you hear it every day on the tape. You don't need to hear me speak the Govinda prayers. And then the conch shell blew. I don't know how it was, because we weren't even in a temple. And then spontaneously she broke with into the Govinda prayers. So it was nice to get her association. Now, just one more point in my readings. I also like, very, very wonderful point. I've been stressing so much that that bhakti bhakti runs by humility. And there's no difference actually between utter humility and prema bhakti. The very interesting thing came up in the Bhakti Sandarbha when I was studying that. Then I'm going to get to the text that I'm studying today. Very nice point. It described that Krishna rides on Garuda. And who is Garuda? Garuda is he's the son of Vinata. Garuda is actually known as the son of Vinata. So that's Garuda's father. But the word Vinata is very interesting, that Nata means to bow down, and Vina means to utterly bow down. So Vinata means utter humility. So actually, Krishna, Garuda is born of utter humility. So Krishna rides on that which is born of utter humility. So if we want to actually carry Krishna in our heart, like Garuda is carrying Krishna, he's the carrier of Krishna, but he's born of utter humility. And we have to be born of utter humility. Now, I'll get to today's verse. Somehow or other, I feel yet I'm not flowing. I'm just giving different things here and there, but maybe we can get some flow here. But today's verse, I want to describe, because I was doing the Bhagavatam, and I asked the devotees on the Sangha what subject they would like to hear, and I actually went with the majority. The majority wanted Gaur Lila. But there were some people that wanted Bhakti Sandarbha, there were some people that wanted Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and there were some people that didn't want Gaur Lila. But I picked the Chaitanya Charitamrita for a specific purpose, because I want to satisfy everyone. Actually, a very interesting thing, it's described in the Bhagavatam, and Prabhupada said that a saintly king, has to be a Mahabhagavat. He actually has to be at the highest level of devotion. Because, just think what a king means, any leader means, even the head of a family, you have to satisfy everyone. And to satisfy everyone, you actually have to be empowered by Krishna. So, I really prayed to Krishna to empower me so I could satisfy everyone that's on the Sangha. And the reason I picked Chaitanya Charitamrita, for those of you, even some people said, I want anything else but Gaura-lila. The reason why I picked Chaitanya Charitamrita, because it specifically contains everything. Because Krishna consciousness is based on the Bhagavatam. Our whole tradition is based on the Bhagavatam. Every Vaishnava book comes from the Bhagavatam. Described in Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, how would he write his books? He would take words in the Bhagavatam and he would understand that they were chit shakti or spiritual potency. And he would pray to those words and volumes of meaning will come. We may also have that experience that there may be a word or concept and we may be teaching or preaching or sharing Krishna consciousness with others. And then volumes of meaning, so much meaning will come that even sometimes we're surprised. And as Prabhupada said, he was surprised sometimes reading his own books. Because you know that when you speak Krishna consciousness, and this is going to be one of the themes today, that actually you have to come in contact with the super soul. You actually have to be an instrument for some higher inspiration to come through you. So I was thinking, this Chaitanya Charitamrita, if we understand it's everything's based on the Bhagavatam, all Vaishnava literature is based on the Bhagavatam. And what comes after the Bhagavatam? What comes after the Bhagavatam, the next thing after the Bhagavatam, really, substantially, is the Satsangarbhas. Vajiva Goswami categorized the philosophy of Krishna consciousness based on the Bhagavatam into three subject matters, which is Sambandha Gyan, Abhideya Gyan, and Priyojan Gyan, which basically can be summarized as, and it's a nice template for most philosophies, there must be a conception of reality, there must be a method of realizing that reality, and there must be an experience of doing so. So in Krishna consciousness, our conception of reality is the supreme absolute reality in his energies, the method of realizing him is devotion, and the experience of doing so, which is the prayojana or the goal of life, is Krishna prema. These are the three categories of knowledge that comprise or the full gamut of the Bhagavatam's teaching. And he categorized it very, very systematically. And after that, there's Vrindavan Das Thakur, who wrote the biography of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And those basically were the first, anyway, we can say Brihat Bhagavatamrita, which is a summary of the Bhagavatam by Sanatana Goswami. But this is basically how it goes. And what Chaitanya Charitamrita is it's so unique. And it covers everything else that was previously spoken. Because what is it? It's the life and teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And what is the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? It's the Bhagavatam, and Krishna Das Kaviraj is conversing with the Sandarbhas, so the categorization of our philosophy is also there in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And it's the Bhagavatam, and who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? It's Krishna seeking to take the mood of his best devotee. And the mood of his best devotee is the heart of Srimati Radharani. So the Chaitanya Charitamrita is the heart of Srimati Radharani. So if you actually want to hear the most esoteric and intimate pastimes of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, and then you say, I don't want the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I don't want Gaura-lila. Gaura-lila is the most intimate pastimes of Sri Chaitanya. And what is the heart of Radharani? Just like we were discussing the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. So what is Krishna, Krishna? Krishna, Krishna is Radharani in separation from Krishna. And what is Hare Hare? Hare is Krishna in separation from Radharani. I think it was Raghunath Das Goswami or Krishna Das Kaviraj. Analyze the Maha Mantras. Different acharyas analyze the Maha Mantras. So what is the heart of Srimati Radharani? It's a separation from Krishna. And her mood of separation. And what is the Antya Lila? if you actually analyze what is the Chaitanya Charitamrita, I'm starting with the Madhya Lila, but I'll go to the Antya Lila. What is the Antya Lila? The last 12 years of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life was in pursuance of this goal to take the mood of Srimati Radharani. And we know what is the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is Sri Krishna wanting to be complete in his relish of enjoyment, because Krishna is a supreme enjoyer, but he wants to be complete in the relish in that supreme enjoyment of prema by taking the position of his devotee. And the devotee has three experiences that Krishna cannot have. The devotee can taste Krishna's beauty. The devotee can taste the love of Krishna. And the devotee can experience the happiness of Krishna's love. So the Chaitanya Charitamrita is Krishna taking the mood of his best devotee. And what mood? What happiness of his best? What mood of his devotee? Which devotee? He wants to take the mood of not just the devotee, but his best devotee. And not just his best devotee, but the mood of his best devotee at the height of Srimati Radharani's love. And what is the height of Srimati Radharani's love? It's the mood of separation. So if you look at the Antya Lila, what are the pastimes that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was thinking about in the Gambhira? What was the mind of Lord Chaitanya? What was his mood of relish? He was thinking of this pastime of Krishna's taking, of Akrura taking Krishna from Vrindavan, and what Srimati Radharani must have felt. He was thinking of the pastime when Srimati Radharani met Krishna in Kurukshetra. It is the same moonlight night of the month of Chaitra, and the same sweet Malati breezes are blowing in the air. But I am not happy here. I want you in my days of abuse. This is such elevated thought. And when Krishna left the Rasa dance, what was the mood of Srimati Radharani? In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it has the life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And what's the life of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees? Chaitanya Charitamrita. Chaitanya, the life force. Charita, the character, Amrita, in immortality. The Chaitanya Charitamrita describes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees, which is the life force, the character. What is the nature of the life force in perfection? And that reminds me of my favorite statement of Srila Prabhupada in the Bhagavad Gita. And I repeat it so much time. It's very simple. He said the perfection of the living entity is called a devotee. So the perfection of the living entity, the devotion for the CC Radha and Krishna, that's exemplified. Not only the love of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, but this is very important, but the components of that love, the emotional components of that love, and the ones that we can identify with. Right now, if you look what self-realization is we're filled with ahankara. I am the doer, I am the controller. And spiritual life means to transform that heart to the point of selfless love. So there's different components and forms of love that are necessary for that transformation that are exhibited by the eternal associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. The mood of compassion, the mood of humility, the mood of dedication, the mood of selfless service. This is why bhakti yoga is the highest yoga. It's the highest yoga because when you become devoted in heart, then automatically you achieve the perfection of all yoga. When you become a devotee, automatically you become humble, automatically you become selfless, automatically you become free from false ego, automatically you become steadfast and devoted. In fact, the very nature of bhakti yoga, it's actually such an exalted process that bhakti yoga begins at the culmination of all other yogas. Because bhakti yoga begins from becoming a devotee. It begins from sharanagata to surrender. It begins from being free from false ego. It begins from the platform of humility. And these are the goals of all other yogas. And therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, it says, Yoginam api sarvesham madgatena taratmanam shabhavam bhajateyoma sameyuktam matovata. Of all yogis, he who worships me with love and devotion is the highest of all. Because love and devotion is the perfected condition of the heart. And in bhakti yoga, bhakti sanjayate bhakti, bhakti causes bhakti. So you actually have to start with a principle of humility and selflessness and devotion. Anyway, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, I'm very, very confident it will satisfy all the devotees, both philosophically, in terms of relishing and wanting to hear about Bhagavatam, because there's nothing that's spoken by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees but Bhagavatam. But at the same time, and I think devotees were feeling this, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radha Krishna in the form of devotee, and he's more contemporary 500 years ago, then for many devotees, that form of Braja Bhakti in the mood of the humble devotee, exchanging his pastimes with his devotees, is something perhaps more accessible. And in fact, very beautifully, Narottam Das Thakur prays that by diving into the ocean of the Sankirtan movement, one enters up on the shore of Radha Krishna's pastimes. Do you know Nityananda what that song is? Sing it. By entering Rasananda, the ocean of Rasa, of Gauranga's pastimes, one enters into the shore of Radha and Krishna's pastimes. Because the disciple takes the mood of the guru. The disciple takes the mood of the guru. And if you serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then to serve someone, you have to know their heart and desires. And you have to take their heart and desires as yours. Naturally, there'll be transference. So let's see what will happen. So this first verse is Krishna Das. Is Krishnadas Kaviraj, Rasika Bhaktamaj. He is the topmost devotee of Rasa. He is the topmost person who can actually appreciate the science of love. What the spiritual world is, it's ultimately rasa vaisaha, that there's an absolute reality, and everyone, if you believe in an absolute reality, you believe that it is consciousness of which nothing is outside of. Our conception and understanding of that consciousness I was explaining, and I'm hoping I'll be able to get it. So far, I haven't been able to get a new sex. A little rusty after a week, but I tried. But we were discussing that. I forgot what we were discussing. Oh, it's okay. It's not bothering me. Anyway, I forgot this point. I was saying the absolute reality is consciousness of which nothing is outside of. I was explaining that why Krishna's pastimes is reasonable. And what determines what is reasonable is how we perceive things operate within our own experience. And we perceive within our own experience that people generally move to be happy or have pleasure, and that pleasure is love. The Vrindavan dogs are barking, maybe, so can you shut the windows there? Somehow or other, there's always obstacles in Vrindavan, but... So, that's reasonable. So it's reasonable to assume that if the absolute reality is omnipotent and has all power, that the absolute reality will move for pleasure, and that pleasure is love. And a description of that absolute reality is Vrindavan. And it's described what this rasa is. Rasa is perfect love. It's described by Jiva Goswami just like this sweet rice. And another thing is, if that ultimate pleasure is love, then the Supreme Absolute Reality, Sri Krishna, will be a connoisseur of that love. And a connoisseur only likes things when they are perfect. So Krishna likes perfect love, and that love that exists in the spiritual world is perfect love. And Jiva Goswami compared it to someone who's a cook and is making sweet rice. If he's a connoisseur, in other words, he knows what good food is, he will only appreciate sweet rice when it's perfectly cooked. Which means what? He said all the ingredients must be there. The milk must be cooked down, not too much, not too little. The sugar must be not too much, not too little. The flame must be a proper way. It can't be burnt, but it can't be cooked too slow. There must be the right spices. The rice itself can't be cooked too much, can't be cooked too little. And if you give someone who's a cultured person that preparation, if any of the ingredients are not proper, he won't enjoy. And Krishna is the enjoyer of supreme love, and it's composed, and the whole Leela and the pastimes of Krishna are just to create the emotional experiences, to create eternally this perfect love. So now, for someone to write about that perfect love, he has to have some experience of it. There's a phrase, it goes, inspiration, perspiration, inspiration. In other words, if you want to compose something that's very sublime, it's not just enough to be an artist or a musician, but you have to have a certain experience or inspiration or realization. Unless you have that realization, in other words, what does an artist do? He sees, he goes into the forest, and he somehow views it in such a way that sees the sublimity of nature. And then he works with his easel, and he works very, very hard. And the result is the same thing that he's experience is now communicated in another form, a visual form. Same thing with a writer. He has some inspiration, some taste of some experience or philosophical thought. He realizes something, and then he has to write and rewrite and go over and over again until that original thing is there. So to write these, I'm introducing you to Krishnadas Kaviraj to write such sublime literature, one has to have such high realization and then be a cubby or a poet, because you can't explain sentiments or emotion just by narrative. You actually have to recreate them. And that's why poetry or aesthetics is so important. Because what poetry aesthetics does, it actually takes a particular sentiment or emotion, in this case, Bhakti Ras, and recreates it. And to do it in poetry means you have to have such a supernatural command of language. I was reading in one book about Rasa Shastra about 1,000 years ago. One of the great scholars said, there may be many, many authors. There may be many, many authors in a... there may be many, many authors in 1,000 years, he said, but there may be only, there may be only 3 or 4 kavis or poets. And Krishnadas Kaviraj, Rasika Bhaktamaj, he was the chief one, Gaur Govinda Lila, to explain the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and of Radha and Krishna. So, but even he was such a topmost devotee and topmost poet, still he understood that to actually write about this absolute reality and the experience of the absolute reality, that you have to be inspired by the absolute reality, and that you actually can't do it by your own power. And it's not just scholarship, but it's being blessed. And therefore, in any Vaishnav work, and I'm introducing this subject, and it may take time, but in any Vaishnav work, no Vaishnav feels himself qualified to explain the inconceivable nature of the absolute reality unless he is an object of the absolute reality's mercy. And I explain this thing that this mantra that my dear godbrother Parthasarathi Prabhu gave me to his own personal realization that we advance by mercy. Mercy comes from the great souls. And the conduit for that mercy is our worship or glorification of them. So in any Vaishnav work, before they're going to explain this absolute reality, Sri Krishna, they first create the conduit of mercy by worship, which puts one in the humble mood. If one is proud, he won't get Krishna's mercy. Pride means what? Ahankara. That I don't need help. I already have my intelligence. I already have my power. I already have my knowledge. And therefore, then Krishna says, fine, then you don't need me, and you become limited to your own karma. So only when we actually become humble can we become the object of mercy. Will we actually attract that delegation or inspiration that will maximize our abilities and karma to do wonderful things, certainly to write Vaishnav literature. So when you write Vaishnav literature, when you read Vaishnav literature, the first thing you know is the humility and heart of that Vaishnava. So here, Krishnadas Kaviraj says, Even a person with no knowledge can immediately acquire all knowledge simply by the benediction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, I am praying to the Lord for his causeless mercy upon me. In other words, he thinks that perhaps he's already written that actually something's coming out that is so wonderful. But he understands that he's like a bank teller. You know, millions of dollars may pass through his hand, but he doesn't have any possessiveness of it. He understands that somehow or other, by prayer, that somehow, and it actually makes him more humble. And he's seeing that actually Krishna's mercy is coming through him to actually write such wonderful things. And very frankly speaking, when you read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, to explain the life and teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in such beautiful poetry, it's actually inconceivable. And I had a realization today that I wanted to share with you. I'm not really satisfied today that I'm able to get into the text. I've actually been teaching it. Maybe it's because it's late at night. But I came up with a saying which is I think helps express the mood of a Vaishnava. And in that scholarship is the collection of knowledge. Realization is the selection of knowledge. So it's not just enough to read so many books, but to be able to be inspired to use what you have in the right circumstance, in the right order. That takes empowerment. And to become empowered, one has to become humble. Because empowerment means that you're becoming the instrument of a higher force. And if you claim ahankara, independence, I am the controller, I am the enjoyer, you will not be, that higher force cannot use you. It's just like if someone has a knife, it's kind of like sharp, it can do many things. But it's dependent on the person who uses the knife. And then the nature of the knife is that it's pliable to the person. And it has some ability, it may be able to, the knife has the instrumental constitution to actually carve something that's very, very beautiful. But it has to be empowered by the person. So in the same way, we have to become pliable to the will of God. And then the karma we have can be used in very, very wonderful ways. But if one is just a scholar and he collects so much knowledge, but he maintains the mood of independence, it's very, very limited what he can actually express in terms of tattva or reality. And we see that there's such a difference. So even someone who's so talented, who's one of those rare cubbies, of Krishnadas as Krishnadas Kaviraj, he actually understands the essence of Krishna consciousness, that very frankly, nothing belongs to us. We're a sentient particle that has desire. And if we desire in the proper way to be used as Krishna's instrument, then so many wonderful things can be done with the particular karma we have in this life, which is external to us, because it all can be taken away. We may be musically talented, we may be beautiful, we may be educated, but it's not the inherent nature of the soul. The inherent nature of soul is a particle of consciousness that has desire, and according to that desire, he's used. And we were talking this morning also of this concept of surrender. It's such a struggle to surrender. And even the concept that I have to surrender means, what are you surrendering? You don't even have anything. What do we even have to surrender? But if we just simply understand that we're the particle of consciousness, and according to our desire, we'll be used in one way or another, and therefore the Vaishnava is focused on that desire in the heart. And if he has any bit of false ego, he is not qualified to write Vaishnava literature at this level, to explain the highest realization of the absolute reality, which is inconceivable. So always we see the mood of the Vaishnava. Even a person with no knowledge can immediately acquire all knowledge simply by the benediction. Therefore, I am praying for his causeless mercy upon me, because I am ordered, Krishna's Kaviraj says, I am ordered to this task to describe the life and teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then look at this verse he composes. And then I'm going to finish because it took me time to get going, but I'm going to share one more thing with you. I feel a little frustrated because the classes in the afternoon were somehow more flowing. This medium I have to get used to, where I don't see anybody, so excuse me. Ande Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityanandho Sohitidho Godayaye Pushpavanto Chitrao Shindho. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Sri Krishna Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, who are like the sun and moon. They have arisen simultaneously on the horizon of Goda to dissipate the darkness of ignorance and thus wonderfully bestow benediction upon all. Look at his mood. He's offering obeisances. He says, unto Sri, who are like the sun and the moon. They come together. How wonderful. The sun gives light. The moon gives coolness. That's enlightenment and compassion. They rise together. So unusual. It's a contradiction. When the sun is up, the moon is not up. But this is showing the extraordinary mercy, the inconceivable mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that the sun and the moon, Nittai Pada Kamala, Koti Chandra Sushitala, Jai Jagata Julai, Jai Jagata Julai. The lotus feet of Lord Nityananda is cooling, Koti Chandra, like a thousand moons. So the cooling effect, the compassion, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the sun, enlightenment. They're arising, enlightenment and compassion. And they have risen simultaneously to dissipate the darkness of ignorance, which means fruitive consciousness. Dharma projita kaitavotra paramo namacharanam sitam. What is a devotee? Sitam? Namatsara, the main quality of a devotee, namatsara. He's not envious. And what is envy? Material consciousness, fruitive consciousness. That I'm doing things to become superior to others. Consciousness. Anyway, I'm going to end today with just a few lines of Krishna Das Kaviraj's poetry, which we've been chanting every day. So we'll chant it now. Just one or two lines. You can see, this is from the Govinda Lilamrita, his Radhika Ashtakam. Akahadi Gaurava Pita Narchita Jananda Kirti Ninda Saurava Balavesha Suna Sarva Vanchita Sarika Mayam Atma Pada Padma Dasya Dasya. Srimati Radhika's bodily complexion snatches away the pride of a golden lotus flower tinged with kumkum. Her bodily fragrance reproaches the fame of a fragrant lotus sprinkled with saffron power, and she fulfills all the desires of the Prince of Vraja, Sri Krishna. May that Srimati Radhika always bestow upon me the service of the lotus feet. I just realized that this is Sunday. So Sunday means that it's, but this thing may end anyway pretty soon. Sunday means that it's I can go a little bit longer, because on the Wednesday night class, it gets, for me it's later, but I don't care. Let's go. Ravindra Pantinim Vichitra Pakka Sattika Krishna Matta Bringa Devi Pula Pushpa Bhaktika Krishna Nitya Sangamata Padma Bandhuranika Mayanatma Pada Padma Dasya Dasaranika. And this is Krishna Das Kaviraj to write such poems. Srimati Radhika's dazzling, colorful silk sari defeats the splendor of coral. She is a garden of all varieties of blooming flowers which attract the maddened bumblebee Sri Krishna, who comes to play amongst her flowers. And she worships the sun god in order to meet with Krishna eternally. May that Srimati Radhika always bestow on you the service of her lotus feet. We'll chant one more of those verses, the eighth one. Well,
yeah.
Samarta Krishna Vipra Yoga Kanti Bodhita Neta Dainya Chattavari Baba Vrinda Modhita Rakhna Labda Krishna Sangha Nirga Tati Lakhida Maya Matma Pada Padma Dasya Dasya Radhika. Srimati Radhika, upon being separated from Sri Krishna for even a half a moment, becomes distressed by the ever-arising feelings of her own lowliness and great restlessness. And she is relieved of all her mental anguish upon meeting Krishna through the intense efforts of one of their messengers. May that Srimati Radhika always bestow upon her the service of her lotus feet. So, anyway, it's a good start. It's always at the beginning. It's like, takes a little bit more to start. But we'll get into this Gaur Lila, and it's very, very wonderful, and I hope I've convinced those of you who thought that perhaps going from the Bhagavatam to this, something would be missing.